right. Thank you, Melissa. And she's another one we're praying for as well. Glad to see she's getting well enough to where she can, I say, bang on that piano like she does a great job on that. So thank you for praying for Melissa. I know they appreciate it. James chapter number 1. James 1 is where our text will be found today. And we're just going to start out with one verse. We have several others that we'll read along with this. But if you would, turn to James chapter 1. And we're going to read one verse. Could you stand, if you're able to stand one more time with me as we read this verse, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord says through James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, that is generously, and upbraideth not, that is without reproach, and it shall be given him. I want to preach to you today a message we might entitle, How to Gain God's Perspective During Unstable Times. How to Gain God's Perspective During Unstable Times. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we have read and will read this morning. And I pray, God, as we preach your Word, that it'll go forth. And Lord, speak to hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence among us. Lord, we thank you for the power of God that's been demonstrated in our church by faith and prayer in the lives of different ones that we have prayed for and we continue to pray for. Lord, we just know that you're an awesome God to look to for help and strength. And Lord, today, if there's someone today under my voice that's battling with discouragement, battling, Lord, with instability in their life, may they find that, God, they can find stability in you. There's one that's lost, Lord, they'll be saved today. We look to you today, Lord, for help in preaching your word. We need the Spirit of God to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Bibles, and begin in verse 5 again. James writes, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and is tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, which perseveres through trials, in other words. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, that is, by evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and he's enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, that is, gives birth to sin, it bringeth forth sin, and his sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Verse 16, do not err. Don't be deceived, James says, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget. He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You know, James, as you start out in the book of James here, he really starts out in this first chapter. He deals with the matter of trials that we face in life. Matter of fact, he goes into the purpose of trials in these first few verses that we read. He kind of gives us the pedigree of trials in verse 13 there, and then he gives us the purpose behind the trials that we go through in life. You know, I've titled the message today, How to Gain God's Perspective During Unstable Times. And I don't have to tell you, and I know that we recognize it, and that we are living in unstable times just in our country alone. We see that with the upcoming elections. It's important for us as Christians, as I've challenged you as your pastor, and I don't have to do that, I'm sure. I'm sure you know this to be the case as a believer, that we need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for America. And of course, what's going on around us. We live in a time where there's open rebellion against God, a time where we're faced with turning points in our daily lives. When I say open rebellion against God, I mean whenever we have said pretty much that whatever you want to do is okay, you do it however you want to do it, doesn't matter what God's Word says, then that's open rebellion against God. And we live in those times. I'd be honest, there's some things that I've seen take place in the last few years. I thought, well, that won't happen during my lifetime. That'll happen in maybe hundreds of years down the road. But yet, sadly, we're faced with some things that we thought we would never be faced with in our nation, in America. I know that just what you see on television, especially with this political race that's going on, is sickening. I'll be honest with you. I'm like many. I'm ready for it to be over with. I hope it turns out well enough to where we can turn this country around. I don't believe there's one politician who's going to do that, though. I don't believe that there's a president that can do what needs to be done. Only God can do that. And that's where the power of prayer comes in. We gave example of what prayer can do just in our church alone. But can you imagine if many more Christians would begin to pray and to seek God's face, then there's hope for America. There's hope for our young people, our kids that are coming up, because that's where my heartbeat is. I may be in the fourth quarter of my life. I don't know that. I may be in the halftime. I don't know. But listen, all I know is that there's a generation that's coming behind us. And I do know this. If this generation does not do what we should be doing as believers, then how is that next generation going to learn what to do and what they're to do? Matter of fact, all it takes is one generation to kill off what we've seen happen in our country, or what we've seen God do. And may it not be that this generation becomes silent when it comes to seeking God. If anything, may God use our generation, our time that we live in, to hopefully be a part of revamping what we know can be done through God's people that will encourage that next generation to continue on. You think, well, preacher, we're living in some tough times. Well, you know what? There's always been tough times for the church. There's always been tough times when it comes to nations. It's just we've been spoiled in America when it comes to some of the freedoms that we've enjoyed, and now we see some of those very freedoms that we've enjoyed begin to be taken away from us. I was told the other day that if Hillary Clinton gets in office, then you can be assured she's coming after the church. I believe that, and that's not a scare tactic. I believe that. I do know that there's the gates are open for the local church. And the gates are open of hell to come after. But you know what? I had a bus mechanic up the other day that came up to me, and I guess he was just picking at me. He was trying to, make me get a little irritated and get angry. They do that a little bit and get fired up a little bit. And he says, "Preacher, you know they're going to come take your, they're going to get rid of the Bible, going to take it away." I said, "You know what? That's one thing I don't fear, because God's Word has been around for hundreds and thousands of years, and you know what?
God's word will stand. When man cannot stand, God's word will stand. It's proven that because it's God's word. We live in some unstable times. We live in times where there's turning points in our life, not just in our nation, but turning points are life's transition periods. They are like curves in the road that sometimes takes us off the familiar highway and on to new and sometimes even unknown roads. As Christians, we're traveling down one right now. There are things that we are faced with as a nation that we've never been faced with before, as I've said. We experience, even in our personal life, some turning points. And maybe you're there. It could be a matter of a career change. I don't know what that may be. You know, it could be marriage. Young people, there's one day that you're going to be married. Or, you know, that's in the future. There's going to be a parenthood that comes along. Being a grandparent and, you know, is exciting. But, you know, in these unstable times, it doesn't make it as exciting, I guess, as it could be. There are things that we faced and turning points in our life, like health issues that obviously we all face and will face at some point in our life. That's a turning point that we're faced with. And there are many other things. And with the changes can leave us searching sometimes for the right map that will lead us to our destination. You know, we have to keep in mind that God often uses transitions in our life. And even, I believe, what we're faced with as a nation, and sometimes in our personal life, God allows these things to take place, these transitions in life, to teach us how to deal with these matters during unstable times. Look in James chapter 1 and verse 12 again. He says, "Blessed is the man," generically man or woman, "that endureth temptations." That word temptation means trials. "When you persevere through the trials, for when he is tried," he or she is tried, "he shall receive the crown of life." Now, the crown of life indicates someone who has passed the test victoriously. Passed the test. They've gone through the trials they've gone through by faith, and their faith has been challenged, but yet they passed the test because their faith was genuine. And God says there will be a crown that is waiting. That's kind of like a wreath that was put on the victor's head back in Roman times. It indicates that the believer's ultimate reward has come to a conclusion. And you know what? Only God can promise that, as it says there in James. You know, there'll be valuable lessons that we learn, and we all have learned in turning points in our life, haven't they? I mean, so rather than fight the turning points, I heard one preacher say, it's probably best to approach it and maybe just lean in the curves as they come about. Just hang on. And something solid, something changeless, and something certain will come about. And you know what? For the believer, we know what that is. And that which is solid, that which is changeless, that which is certain, that I tried to relate to this bus mechanic the other day, is the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God that never changes. God's Word is solid. God's Word is something that we can know is for certain, is for real. When things get bad around us, I thank God for the hope that we have in the Word of God as He's given us this book. You know, there are three thoughts that I want to leave with you this morning that I trust will help us gain God's perspective during these unstable times. If you're taking notes, write these down. Number one is this: don't wait until a crisis to find God's direction for your life. Don't wait for a crisis. And there's some young people here this morning, and this message is not just for us older adults, but this is for you as well. You know, a crisis is sometimes we think, well, we lost a ball game. Now, if Alabama had lost that ball game yesterday, we'd think Alabama fans would be in a crisis mode today. I mean, they'd be all over the news. We're going to miss out on our championship, number 17, I guess it is, right? And we'd be in a crisis mode. You know, the same thing happens, you know, with and you think, well, that's not a big deal. But listen,
for Alabama fans or for Auburn fans, that's a big deal. I mean, there's some people that lose sleep over that. And sadly, there's some people been killed over a ball game. But you know what? That's not a crisis. You know, a crisis obviously involves a number of things. A crisis, yes, can be those turning points in our life. A crisis can be those transitions in our life. Look in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, that is, generously, and upbraideth not, that is, without reproach, and it shall be given him. You'll see, don't wait until a crisis to find God's direction. And I've had that happen in my life, and I know I've had people come to me when really they waited to the last minute to come to God. And by the way, God's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But you know what? We don't need to pull out our maps that we have before us this morning during a crisis mode, and that's the only time we do it. You know, a good driver keeps a map handy, doesn't he? Now, I used to use a map, but I use the GPS now, which is not very dependable. But it's on your phone in most cases. Some people have them in their car. But a good driver takes it wherever he goes. He'll consult the GPS on a regular basis. You know, the same idea happens or should happen in our life. We must do the same in our Christian life. We're much more likely to find God's direction. Not in man, not in, something that somebody advises us and gives us counsel over necessarily. But we can always find what we need in God's Word. I mean, God's Word is always dependable, as we said. It's a stable book. And God's Word gives us that direction that we need. And we're living in unstable times. We are. And I'm not trying to preach gloom and doom, but I think it's obvious that in our nation alone, there's some instability that we've never faced before. And how do we deal with it? Well, the way that that men like Paul and Peter and those of old dealt with it, then that is turn to God and to God's Word and to seek counsel from God, to get direction, that we don't panic during the crisis mode. Now, I realize, as I've said, there's not a lot of choices when it comes to the political race that's going on. That didn't mean that we panic and give up, because you know what? As I said, our investment is not so much in politics. Our investment is in this next generation. And what are they seeing in our lives? There's a lack of stability when it comes to our churches today, when it comes to faithfulness and attendance, and when it comes to people being involved in the church. Sometimes we find that it's not necessary. Then when we find ourselves giving up and quitting on God in areas that where we once served God, then what are we doing to that next generation? All we're doing is teaching them to do the same thing. You look around here this morning. Where's that 20 to 30 age group? Where are they? They're out of church. Statistics tells us that well over 80% of the kids who graduate from high school will be out of church soon after. You go in most Baptist churches today that I know of, and I can't speak for a lot, but I think this is true about they get out of church. And there's a time period that they're out of church and they quit going, being active and serving the Lord. Now, the good thing about that same statistic, around 30 or so years old, they begin to find their way back. But what have they gotten involved in during that time period? This caused them to maybe get wrapped up with the wrong person in life, married the wrong person, maybe got caught up into the things of the world that obviously has really robbed them of opportunities to grow in the Lord. There's that generation that we're missing in our churches today. Not just we look around and see that in our church, but we look at, and you can go in the average church today and you'll see that's a small group of young people that are not following. Why is that? I think it has to fall on the elderly, because we're to be the examples. And matter of fact, you know, listen, parents, it's our obligation to make sure kids are in church. Not just to send them off and drop them off, but to make sure that they're in church. Not just to say, hey, you can go wherever you want to go. Listen, it's important that we don't wait till a crisis comes
and then decide I'm going to parent. I've had parents come to me whenever their teenagers have over the years have rebelled and gotten out of church and quit serving God, and even to the point to where things have taken place in their life, and they're saying, well, I'm trying to get them back. You know, sometimes we parent kind of like we build a pyramid. If you're going to build a pyramid, and I've never built one, but I've seen it built or whatever, you never turn it and build it from the point out, do you? You build that pyramid and you lay the right foundation. And you make it wide enough to where when you get it to the point to where you build that pyramid and it comes to the point, then you watch every step, every way, then you know that you've been a success. There are many parents that are trying to parent by building that upside down pyramid to the point to where you start with the point first and you work out, then what's going to happen? That's not going to hold up. It's going to fall over. That may be I heard that analogy several years ago. It really got my attention as parent, because sometimes we try to start parenting when kids begin to enter their teenage years. Listen, if you're a parent here and you're trying to parent your child and you're just trying to start that now, it's too late. It's too late. Listen, as parents, and I know I realize that my kids are pretty much out and gone. We've got an empty nest pretty much. That's why I have a sad countenance today a little bit. No. Listen, we know that as parents and as grandparents, something I try to tell my now only son that's got grandkids. Well, listen, don't wait till they get teenagers. Got to start getting them in church. Get them under the Word of God early. And I appreciate you parents that do that. You got your kids in Awana. You got your kids in Sunday school. And you know what? That's going to pay off one day. I just have to believe that. Get them learning God's Word early in life. That's part of building that foundation, that structure. Because you see, when that crisis comes, and it's going to come in their life, it's going to come in your life, then you're better able to handle that crisis because you know who you can turn to, and that's the Word of God. But listen, sadly, as I said, there's a lot of parents begin to try to parent their children when they're teenagers, and it's too late. Not to say you can't be the parent, but there's a lot of things that you cannot teach teenagers that you maybe could have taught them early on. Because you know what? I drive a school bus. Teenagers know everything. All right. And I'm not picking on our teenagers here. They're very smart. But parents here know what I'm talking about. You know? And you know, I love our teenagers, but they have to have guidance in their life. They have to have guidance. But it doesn't start when they become teenagers. It has to start when they're young. And then, because I see them as our future church. And thank God for the faithful ones that we have. But you know what? It's our obligation as adults not wait till the crisis comes in our nation, not to wait till the crisis comes in our life personally, because they're going to come. But hopefully we've laid that foundation to teach our kids and one another when the crisis comes, we turn to God, because He's the only one we can turn to. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 119. Go there with me, please. As I said, that the map that God has given us is His Word. It's so very important that we as believers consult, we seek help, we seek advice, we seek wisdom from God on a regular basis. Notice what Psalm 119, verse 24 has to say. Look in Psalm 119 and verse 24. The psalmist says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight." And notice the last part of that verse. "And my what? Counselors." Thy testimonies also are my delight. And he's speaking of the Word of God and my counselors. The chief means of biblical counseling is the application of God's Word by God's Spirit to the heart of a believer. You see, the greatest counselor that we can have in our life is what the psalmist is saying here, is the Word of God. I mean, you ever sat down with the Word of God and you know, you needed some answers,
and you just needed something to come jump out at you, and boy, there it was. And God's Word is that to us. God's Word is that counselor that we need. Go back to Psalm 119, and also a familiar passage is down in verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, I don't have to explain to you what's going on there in that verse, but that's pretty self-explanatory. When it speaks of the Word of God, God's Word is that guidance that we need, that lamp in the dark times of our life, in the crisis times of our life, because they're going to be those. God's Word is that kind of illumination and counsel that we need, but it only comes through regularly meeting with God. As I said, that person who rides down the road with their GPS, you know, you're riding in a big city, and man, you got your GPS with you, and you study that thing on a regular basis. If you ever go on a trip, listen, that's something I'd advise you to do. Listen, to know that when that crisis comes by driving and you get lost a little bit, there's nothing worse than getting lost in Atlanta. I told you, did I tell you this before? That several years ago, I drove around that bypass. My wife, were you with me? Must have been when I was going to college. I think it was the first time I went to Atlanta. You know, 285. Now that thing circles in Atlanta. And it must have been the first few times I drove to Atlanta, and I was getting my car, and I'm going to Lynchburg, Virginia, where I went to college. And I get to Atlanta, and I took 285, and that thing never ended. I mean, it just circled. And you know, who knows how far around it is? Anybody know? Is it 60 miles? 61 miles. I drove 61 miles just to get to my turnoff. Because I had to drive all the way around it. Now, and every time I go to Atlanta, I always fear that. Not that I'm, you know, but I always fear it. And I don't want to ever do something like that again, because that was a long 61 miles. But GPS, man, you study those things, they'll get you where you're going in most cases. And I say all that to say this. God's Word, if we'll allow, will illuminate and give us counsel and be that guide that we need if we'll study it on a regular basis. God's Word is a great source through unstable times. Go back to James with me. As Christians, we need to ask in faith, though, he says. But let him, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and is tossed. Believing and trusting in God's sovereignty without doubting is what James is saying. Don't waver. Believe what God says, because when the crisis comes, there's going to be those times where, should I handle it the way God says, do it. Prayer, preacher? You think that's going to really change our nation? I believe in the power of prayer. We've seen, obviously, God answer prayers, as I said, in our church. But yeah, you know, I realize it's not something that sometimes people think will be the answer, but there's power in prayer. You mean getting into God's Word can help us through the crisis times? And I honestly believe that studying God's Word and letting it be a regular part of our life on a daily basis can give us that encouragement, that strength that we need during those times of crisis. Because it's been proven that it does that in times past. And maybe you can say it's done it in your life. But he says in verse 6, we need to ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. What does he say? Nothing wavering. That is, without doubt. So often we don't get our prayers answered because when we go to God, before we even pray, we're doubting that God's going to even be able to do this. But he says, ask in faith without doubting, for he that wavereth, he that doubts, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and is tossed. So as Christians, we need to ask in faith, then with that, believe. Believing and trusting in God's sovereignty without doubting. We have to work on that. Why? Because the flesh gets in the way. So don't wait until a crisis to find God's direction. That's the first point. Second point is, that, you know, how to gain God's perspective during unstable times. Well, know this, we can find reassurance in the stability of God's character. We can find reassurance, in the stability of God's character. Now, James tells us that in God there is no variation or no shifting shadows. When he says in verse 17, notice what he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is, no variation or no shifting shadow. You know, although the world may change, and it does, we've seen it happen, and their turning points are going to come and go, as I've said a few moments ago, God never changes. Can you say amen to that? He never changes. Now, we can count on God to remain constant. That's what James is saying. There's no variation with God. There's no shifting shadow with God. He never changes. So we can count on God to remain constant, even though everything in life is in a constant state of change. You know, God, you think God's worried about the political outcome of what's going to take place in a few weeks? God's not in heaven like some of us in front of our televisions, and I've been caught in doing that, and man, listening to some of this junk that's going on, God's not twiddling his thumbs and just wondering what's going to come out. No, it's not, because God is not concerned with any of that. Now, that's not to say that God obviously does not have a part in what's going on. He does. That's why we need to be praying. But yet, at the same time, God's not fretting and being concerned about it as we should not be as well. We should be like what James is saying, know that we have a God who is constant, and yes, He's in control, and yes, things may not turn out the way we want, but listen, God's still on the throne. Praise God for that. You see, our nation is changing, and obviously with America changing, that affects the world, and the world is changing as a result as well, you know, but God remains the same. He is a changeless God. That's why no matter what we're faced with, we learn to praise the Lord. As I've said many times in Psalm 150, in verse 6, say it with me, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to be able to wake up, and you'll be able to wake up in a few weeks after this election is all over, and maybe fretting over some things that went on or didn't go your way, whatever. But as a Christian, we can just say, let everything that hath breath praise God. As we should be. And when you're faced with that crisis, whatever it is in your life, you ought to be able to say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, obviously, it's not something that we're able to do sometimes when we're going through that crisis, that period of time in our life. But yet we have to learn to do those things. And because God remains constant, we can find our stability in Him when everything around us is unstable. You know, I've spoken about how people change. And I dare say there are people that change. We change. And there's people in your family that change. And we all experience that. There's nations that change. Churches that change. I mean, there are churches today that used to be around that are no longer around. There are churches that used to preach the whole counsel of God that no longer preach that. You know, why is that? Because churches change. That doesn't mean that God's changed. God's message has never changed. But yet, we sometimes find ourselves in that changing mode because our lives are not stable as they should be. All around us, there's a state of instability. It breaks our heart. More so, it breaks God's heart. But you know, the better we know God, the tighter that we can cling to God during the tough times. And some of you are faced with some tough times. As I said, some of you are in that turning point in your life, maybe. That transition in your life. It could be a career. It could be, a health issue or whatever. You know, thank God that we can cling to the Lord and know that during the tough times that we can hang on to God. There, not everybody can say that. Notice how David described God in Psalm 18. Go there with me quickly. How did David describe God? You'll want to see this, so I encourage you to go to that.
How did David describe God? If I was asking you to describe God for me today, how would you describe God? David described God pretty much, he wrapped it up in one word. But then he added a few other things to this. Matter of fact, this one way of he described God was mentioned in both of these verses. In Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn that is the power of my salvation and the high tower that is my stronghold. Two times in these two verses, David said, God is his what? God is his strength. He said, God is my strength. Which, by the way, there are several emblems, we call them emblems, of God's protection in these verses. But one stands out because it was mentioned twice. And that's that word strength. So we would put that in the category of maybe God's main emblem in our life. That God is our strength through times of crisis, through times of instability, through times of those turning points in our life as we all face. Thank God He is our strength, David says. And then he says, and you know, as a reminder, that when you know God personally, then you can have the confidence to trust Him completely. So what does he do? He adds on to this emblem of strength by reminding us of how stable we are in God by saying, he says, the Lord in verse 2 is also my rock. When it comes to protection, God's my rock and my fortress. God is my deliverer. That God is my strength in whom I will trust. God is my buckler. The word buckler means God is my shield. And the horn, that is the power of my salvation and my high tower, my stronghold. So you're in a crisis. You're in a turning point. You're in a transition. How are you going to make it? You ever felt that way? I don't know how I'm going to make it through this day. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this crisis. Well, thank God that we have a God who is our strength. Thank God we have a God who is our buckler, our shield. And you know what? I respect the devil. We should, but I don't fear the devil. Someone says you shouldn't say that. Well, as a Christian, why should we fear the devil? Now, I don't mess with electricity. I know what it can do to someone who's not very knowledgeable in dealing with electricity too much. So when I say I don't fool with it, I respect electricity. If I'm going to change a light socket, and I've done that a few times, I'm going to respect it enough that I'm going to turn the power off at the power box. Now, some electricians, they can just go in there and do that their thing. But I'm going to turn it off because I've done experience what it can do to you. So I'm going to have enough respect to make sure everything's going to be shut down. And even though it's shut down, I still, I'm not quite sure about this thing. Not sure if I ought to mess with it. But yet, to get the job done, you know, I've got to feel my way through that, obviously, and hope that that I've done everything right. I respect what it can do. But I'm really not at a point to where it may sound like I'm afraid. If I was afraid, I wouldn't mess with it at all. No, I respect what it can do. You know, Satan, we should not fear Satan as Christians. But we should respect that he's walking about seeking whom he may what? Devour, the Bible says. He's like a roaring lion. And seeking whom he may devour. But I thank God he is my protection. I thank God that he is, that God is my buckler, my shield. In life or whatever is going to come my way, this crisis is going to come. And you may be faced with that tomorrow. You may be faced with it next week. But when that crisis comes, rather than cave in and give in to it, as sadly some have done, that's why you look around sometimes in churches, and Brother so-and-so used to go to church here, Sister so-and-so used to go to church or whatever, over there or whatever. You know, what's happened to them?
In some cases, there are folks who have given in to the crisis or the turning points and quit serving God. So we don't wait for a crisis to come to find God's direction. We can find reassurance in the stability of God's character. And then thirdly, how to gain God's perspective during unstable times, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We need to trust the Holy Spirit of God, who, by the way, indwells the believer at the moment of salvation. When you invite Christ in your life as a lost person, the moment you invite Him in your life, then the Holy Spirit of God comes in and takes up residence in our life, right? Matter of fact, the Bible says that He is our comforter. I like that. The word comforter simply means in the Greek that he comes alongside of us. So when you're going through a crisis, when you're in some unstable times, and we're like that in America today, we're like that in our individual life, we have to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit of God, to trust in our teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, that He's right here with us. If I sit down in this seat, and listen, I'm just right here. You know who's right here with me? The Holy Spirit of God. When I get up and leave this building, I don't leave God behind in this building and shut the door and shut Him in. Listen, He goes right home with me today. Get my car. Boy, I get down the road sometimes and I like to talk to God. Do you? I'm sure you do. You see, I like to know that I have a God I can turn to, because He is there at all times. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Look in verse 5 of James chapter. Go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I got to go back there myself. James chapter 1, and notice if you would, verse 5. If any of you, what? Lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men liberally, breatheth not, and it shall be given him. You know, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide and to reveal to us all truth. You say, preacher, I need wisdom in dealing with what I'm going through. I need God's understanding of how to deal with this matter, how to deal with this child of mine, or how to deal with this decision I've got to make in life. And you know, how do I do that as a Christian? And we have to learn to look to our teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, to be our guide. Look in John chapter number 16. Jesus said in John 16, I encourage you to look in verse 13 what He said. John 16 verse 13, how be it, Jesus says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That's He'll disclose those things to come. You ever walked away from praying and having a good time of praying with God or in God's Word and just left with a peace that passes all understanding? Although maybe you didn't get up from the altar and know for sure that your prayers are answered, but you know that, hey, listen, they're in the Lord's hands. That problem, that crisis is in God's hands. That's not to say that it's not going to be something that you don't ever pray about, but hopefully it's not something you have to worry or fret over, as Satan wants us to do. But we know that He is the God of truth. He will disclose to us or reveal to us what we need to know. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our guide. It's always helpful to ask the Holy Spirit to be our guide during unstable times. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 18, and how do we do that? Through the Word of God. I'm going to share something that's not going to shock you this morning. Not that any of this did, maybe. There's no new truth that God's going to give us today. I didn't have anything new to give you today. You say, preacher, I figured that out. No, listen. I'm not going to be able to add to this book, or nobody's going to be able to add to this book and say there's something new. Because God has revealed to us everything He wants us to know. How are we going to find out what's the truth? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to learn to look to our teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, who is revealed to us. Now, we can wait till next Sunday for the preacher to preach, or the Sunday school teacher to teach, and maybe I'll get something new or different then. But you know what? Every day we need to be in God's Word, because there's going to be a crisis every day almost. I mean, there's going to be something we're going to deal with. As adults, you know what I'm talking about. You know, teenagers, there's crisis in your life that maybe are not the same as an adult, but yet, how are you going to deal with it? Need to be in God's Word. And the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us. A lost person can memorize this Bible. I know some lost people that know the Bible pretty well. But they'll not be able to understand it like a child of God. Because God only reveals what God wants the child of God to know through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved today, you ought to thank God that I have the Holy Spirit of God within me. Because when you open the Bible, God can reveal His truth to you. Trust in the teacher. So often when we're troubled and we're feeling stressful, a single Bible truth, you ever found that to be the case, seems to leap out from God's heart into yours. And you know what? Have you ever said, "That's it. That's what I needed." And it was just came from a simple Bible truth that you read, or you opened the Bible and you saw, "That's it." I've done that. Sometimes just one verse can give us that relief we need, because God knows what we need. D.L. Moody, great preacher of the faith, he would often quote the familiar line of John 3:16. What is that line? "For God so loved the world." D.L. Moody would quote that. He would quote that line whenever he needed some kind of relief, and he would say it would give him the relief that he needed quite often whenever he held a fear that would come about in his life, a crisis in his life. He would quote, "For God so loved the world." And it was like that fear would be chased away. Listen, I'm not saying that God uses the same verse for everybody, but I do know this. God uses His Word to help us in times of crisis. God uses His Word to give us strength and give us guidance on a daily basis. And although we're faced with unstable times today, as believers, we should look up. And we should know that every turning point in life should be looked upon as an opportunity to know God better. You know, whatever we're going through as a nation, whatever we're going through as an individual, whatever you've been through, hopefully you look at it as an opportunity to get to know God better. You know, we're going to face some difficult times. Some will be smooth and some will not be so smooth. But may we learn to grow more like Jesus and allow Him to teach us. And if we learn to do that, then never, the next crisis that comes around, and it will, we'll know better how to deal with that crisis or be able to help someone that's going through that and don't have to throw in the towel and quit, because that's the easy thing to do. To continue to go forward if something's difficult. How do we go forward? Well, we take time with God and we ask God to be our teacher. We ask Him to be our guide. And then secondly, we apply what we discover. Boy, this is a treasure book right here, isn't it? Oh, it's got some wonderful treasures in it. And they're hidden sometimes. And by the way, the treasures that are hidden in here can only be revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life, God will reveal those to you in His time. And He has done that for many in this room. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's a great treasure that's hidden here. But it's for every one of us. Many in this room have accepted Christ. But if you're here and you're battling with something that you haven't given over to the Lord, and maybe your faith has been lacking because you haven't trusted in the wisdom of God, I encourage you to look to God for guidance. Whatever you're faced with. And know that God will give you that strength, that protection that you need to get through whatever it is. Let's stand up. Christians are praying, heads are bowed. Father, we bow before You as our as we stand to our feet this morning, realizing that we serve an awesome and mighty God, as we've said already. Lord, I pray, Father, that we'll not just let this message be something that we listen and just let it go in one ear and out the other, but God, would truly apply it as need be. And I believe there's some in this room, Father, that you're dealing with today. There may be a young person, there may be an adult, God, that just really, Lord, needs to get victory over whatever crisis or turning point they're faced with in their life. Rather than turning their backs on you, God, may they look to you for help and strength. And Father, if there's one in the sound of my voice is not saved, they'll not leave here without acknowledging the fact they need you as Savior today. That they would repent and believe upon you as their personal Savior, as many in this room have done. And Lord, we pray you'll bless on this invitation. May we respond as believers, as we should, in the manner you'd be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.